Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are our honored guest today, and we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful that you not only live in us, but you're here corporately, that there's a corporate anointing of gathering in Jesus' name. We need your power. We need your fullness. Would you show yourself strong through us today? In Jesus' name, amen. One moment of time here at Lift. And because you're here, whether this is your first time or your 100th time, or you come every once in a while, because you're here, you're in this moment with us. It's a Kairos moment. It's a time where opportunity, divine opportunity, meets divine favor. It's different than a chronological moment or a chronos. It's a God time to be alive. And I believe here at Lift, we're experiencing our Kairos time of hearing from God, of having God move in and through us. It's a funny thing. When you're in a Kairos moment, it's a little bit different in that God changes the rules. God can change all the rules. There was a time in the Bible where they were in battle, and as long as the sun was up, things were going well. And so God stopped the sun from advancing. Now, I don't know how they didn't fly off the planet, because that kind of flies in the face of gravity, right? But God, okay? In a Kairos moment, God says, we're changed. This is changing. I can change. That's why we say nothing's impossible for him. We are in, I believe, a Kairos moment. How many of you like the miraculous? How many are believing for the miraculous? Well, today, as we're preparing for a conference where we've invited people to come and talk about upon us, Holy Spirit, upon us, I'm expecting the miraculous. But I'm going to give you a hint. I'm expecting the miraculous today. Yeah. We're in a Kairos moment. God wants to do. My title today is Obedience, the Pathway to the Miraculous. Now, this isn't the obedience like what you immediately might be thinking of, you know, do more, do better, be better, perform better, you know, to be acceptable to the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about obedience to your Kairos moment. I'm talking about obedience to hear God and react to what he's saying. I want to tell the story of a man today that's in the Bible. It's not like a fairy story. It's not a fairy tale story. It's not a parable. This actually happened. And it happened in a time where all of a sudden things weren't going so great. It's out of the book of Acts, chapter 8. Things were going great. People got comfortable, though. The church got comfortable. And then all of a sudden, all hell started breaking loose. Persecution came. There was a cost to believe, to be a believer. As a matter of fact, they were called people of the way. I think that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? They're people of the way. They weren't even called Christians yet. And persecution was mounting, and it was great. You remember the story of Stephen, right? Stephen, who was preaching and just a young man, and got brought before the council, and people made up things, said that he said these things that were not true, they were lies, brought him before the council and said, did you do these? Is this what you did? And man, Stephen gave him the what for? He let him have it. He didn't hold back a bit. It was a Kairos moment for him. He ended by calling them stiff-necked. He said, you guys have persecuted every prophet that's ever come. And you're doing it now. You're stiff-necked. And man, they bucked up and they rushed on him and they drag him out and they stoned him. So I don't want that Kairos moment. But it was a Kairos moment. It was, because Stephen said, I see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says, Lord, let's do this thing. And he died. And they buried him. And those who were persecuting were emboldened to do more. Those who were being persecuted decided we should find perhaps another place. And you know what happened? They scattered. They scattered. They were hunkered down and they were comfortable. And now they scattered. And the message of the way began to go out all over the place. Well, there was one guy who was like a head persecutor. He was like the Hussein of Jerusalem. Okay? His name was Saul. He was so fervent. He believed in his heart what he was doing. He knew the Bible. He knew the word. He was so hardened to what had happened with Jesus that he was the instigator of so much persecution. His name was Saul. He was there when Stephen was being stoned, watching the coats. He's one of them guys that didn't necessarily do the work, had other people do it for him. And those are the worst right there. He was so zealous about persecuting these people of the way that he got permission to go to Damascus so he could arrest people there. We're arresting, we're killing, we're imprisoning. And if he could just get someone to blaspheme, man, that was his goal. Does it sound anything like some of the atmospheres in the earth today? Sometimes we take everything that's happening as a move of the devil. And I want you to know, he's not that powerful. He's not that good. Sometimes what looks like a problem knocking on your door is God fulfilling a promise. And he's preparing you, strengthening you, encouraging you, enlarging you to more than where you're at. Because you might be racked with fear. You might be paralyzed. Have you ever been paralyzed? You ever been paralyzed with fear? You know, you can't move forward, backward, either way. So Saul gets permission, and he's on his way to Damascus. Because new city, new people, I'm going to round them up. And we're going to start Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And I wasn't even going to put this up, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because this is working. Or is it? Nope. I'm going to read it. You'll have to take notes. I had a litmus test that if it didn't go first tap, then we're not doing it. Chapter 9, verse 3 says this, and it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus. This is talking about Saul. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In your Bible, it's probably red because it's Jesus. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told to you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Verse 8, and Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Saul was having a bad Kairos day. Can you imagine the hunter? Saul the hunter. Vicious. Bible talks about him breathing murderous threats. Bloodthirsty guy is now being led into town where he was going to, you know, make his bloodbath entrance. He's being led into town by the hand. and taken to a place, and he doesn't eat. Say, well, that's good for him, right? Some of you know how to pray pregnatory prayers. Lord, if they won't change, take them out. Get rid of them. Well, there you go. He's done. Thank God. Glory to God. Can you imagine that word going around? Hey, did you about Saul? He's blind. He ain't doing nothing. You could tap him on the shoulder and run over here. What's amazing to me is that God had a plan. He had a plan and a Kairos moment for Saul, just like he has one for you. And he saw the beginning from the end, because God's not caught up in our chronos. He's not caught by our timeline. He is, he was, and he will always be. And so he saw Saul. He saw Saul. And he knew what he was doing. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus, verse 10, named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. I bet he was. He was a man of prayer. He just had wrong intentions. He had wrong inclinations. And he was seen in a vision, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Can you imagine if the Lord is telling you, I want you to go, Hitler's hiding over wherever, I want you to go there. Because he's having a vision of a man named Randy Reed, and not the car dealer, coming over and laying hands on him. It's like, well, as soon as I find another Randy Reed, I will send him right over, right? But Ananias answered, and Ananias has a Aramaic root meaning of Yah has mercy, or that, and then in the Greek it's a gracious gift. So Ananias is now going to have to live up to his name of being gracious gift, because graciousness might not have been his first thought towards Saul. He may have known orphans, children who have been orphaned because of Saul's murderous plots. He may even had friends who have widows now because they had been killed or imprisoned, then killed. Ananias answered, Lord, in verse 13, chapter 9 of Acts, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. Isn't it funny, our incessant need to remind God of what he already knows when he's given us something clear to do? Nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing wrong with doing that, as long as you understand that he may say, yeah, right, okay, same thing. I remember in the Bible when Moses had died, and God's short version to the next leader was, now Moses is dead. Okay, now gather the people and you're going to go lead them in. Only be strong and of good courage. Yeah, but what about only be strong and of good courage? But what about only be strong and of good courage? Now, we do know that he did say, all right, I'll do it, but only you got to be with me like you were with Moses. And God said, you got it. That's what I wanted to hear, right? But the Lord said to him, verse 15, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, the sad thing to me on that whole encounter there is that God couldn't find who he needed to do that job amongst the believers. He had to take out somebody else. Did you know that if God is calling you and I to do certain things, and he has given us these kairos moments, and he's wanting us to be obedient, to say yes, and to know that it's not up to us, it's not our talent. You've heard that thing, God doesn't call the qualified, he calls the available. No, God calls everybody. He's calling all of us, whether you've got talent or you don't have talent. The point is, are you going to respond to your kairos moment? And the thing I don't want is for us to be in this kairos moment that I believe we're in here as a body of believers. We're not the only body in this city, but we are one body. And I think what he wants to do through us is beyond this building. It's beyond our gathering on Sundays. It's a much greater purpose. And what I don't want is for us to miss our kairos moment and he have to give it to someone else. Because he is going to have his way. His will is going to be done in Kansas City. I promise you that. His glory is going to fill the earth. And I say start right here. By the way, an update on the building. The investors, the building has been for sale. The investors went before the city council, and their bid was approved. And so now what they've got to do is pony up the money and get all that approved, and then there'll be a closing, and then we'll find out what that means to us. But here's what I want you to continue to pray. God, have your way. God, have your way. It's our kairos moment. Have your way. Don't let our love for this hinder anything. Whatever he wants to do, I'm ready to do that. Pastor Chris tricked us this morning and said, do you have a burden? And I lifted my hands. And he says, why are you carrying that? I said, I was just worshiping the Lord. I understand what he was saying, but I do have a burden. I have a burden for you and for me that we will not miss our moment. Let's don't miss this. Let's don't mess it up either. So, verse 17, and Ananias departed. By the way, it says up here, let me find it. In verse 11, and the Lord said to him, arise and go. Arise and go. Arise and go. And now in verse 17, and Ananias departed. Obedience. He obeyed. He didn't understand. We had a great word that Pastor Grant gave us recently about we don't have to understand everything. Just feast on the Lord and his presence because he understands. It's a trust issue. It really is. It's like giving. Giving is a trust issue. If you aren't a giver of your money to some place that you gather, hopefully it would be here, but if you aren't a giver of money, you've got some trust issues. You do. You spend your life getting money. And I trust you, Lord. I give you my heart. Not your money, you didn't, he said. So you trust me, sort of. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to help you move into your kairos moment of God doing great things in you, through you, and for you. Don't let money hold you back. That was a freebie. And Ananias departed and entered the house. That was a quick trip from his place to that place. And entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the angels had to have been doing flips to hear such compassion from a man who was afraid of Saul to call him Brother Saul. You know what that tells me? That tells me he heard the word that the Lord gave him. He threw out his little objections, perhaps, and then he received it and believed it. He believed it before he saw it. I know you're from Missouri. You don't have to see it. Everything before you believe it. As a matter of fact, it's time for you to move into that all the promises of God are yes and we say amen, it's time for you to start believing because he said it, not because anybody else said it. Brother Saul, isn't that awesome? The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Then right after that, right to the temple, and he's preaching, and he's teaching about Jesus. People are going, dude, is that not the, what? Who? What? Why is it going down? I have some friends from high school that would say the same thing about me if they said, you're a preacher? What? Some of you have a testimony like that too. Kairos moment. And I don't know if you know this, but Saul went on to have his name changed to Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a giant bulk of the New Testament of what we know about our Lord and Savior. So I want you to know this. It's not too late for you. You haven't gone too far. You're not a lost cause. God is pursuing you. He's hunting you down. Saul was hunting Christians. God is hunting you down. Oh, but I'm a Christian. He's hunting you down for your Kairos moments to bring you into a place to, when he says jump, you obey and say how high. All right, let me put it another way. We'll go back. That was all actually in chapter 9. I meant to start in 8, but this works. We'll go back to chapter 8. Because in chapter 8, right after Stephen was stoned, there was another person who came to the forefront. His name is Philip. Not the apostle Philip, the deacon Philip. The guy, one of the guys that was elected when they realized, man, we got this church is growing. We got so much stuff going on. We don't have time to do all the things. We need more people. It's a leadership thing. And so they picked some people to help feed the widows and the orphans and those people in need. They became deacons, if you will. And Philip was one of those. And when all the persecution hit, Philip, he took off like a lot of people did because they scattered, and he went to Samaria, okay? And while he was there, he began telling people about Jesus because that's just what you do when you're of the way. He starts telling people, and they started receiving him like crazy. And there was a revival, if you will, taking place. And Philip was just a guy. Because see, that's some of your objections is, I'm not trained. I don't have enough of the Bible. I don't know enough. I don't understand enough. Nobody listens to me. Your Kairos moment is here, and it's now. It doesn't matter if you're trained. It doesn't matter if you feel like you got the goods, or if you're good looking, or you got enough money, or have the right house to have, you know, the right kind of house to have somebody come to your house. I wouldn't want to do that. I would be so embarrassed because of my house or whatever it is. It's not any of that. It's will you obey when he says go? So Philip is there. Things are going crazy. People are just coming to the Lord and all that. And it gets back to the apostles in Jerusalem. So they sent in the big guns because they knew people were getting saved in the name of Jesus and getting baptized in the name of Jesus, but they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they came, they brought the big guns in, right? In chapter 8, let me find it. Verse 9. Now there was a certain man named Simon, who formerly was, nope, that's not the place I wanted. 4:2. Let me go. Okay, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And then Simon saw, and I don't want to go into that, he was a magician, I want to go down to 25. And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. So here's Philip. He's been sharing with this whole area. People are coming to Christ. Big guns come in, tell them about the Holy Spirit, pray for them, and people just get baptized in the Holy Spirit all over the place. Then they look around and go, okay, we're going to head back. We'll stop at a few villages on the way, and here's Philip. Now, I don't think Philip was, you know, well, golly, they come in and stole my thunder. I don't think he was like that at all. I think he was living in his Kairos moment, because the very next thing that happens is this. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went. Big crowds, a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun. Some of our Western church needs to get a revelation of something that's happening right here. Right here. Because there are some people that are more concerned about the numbers than they are the people that make up those numbers. I would love for us to have more people, but not at the expense of not having the presence of God here and following after what he would have us to do. Philip hears a word, go out to the desert road. That doesn't sound like a very good Kairos moment to me. But he went. He arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this is a Gentile, probably had a large entourage because he was the head treasurer, probably had a large group with him, and he had come seeking spiritual wisdom. He wasn't a Jew, but he had come to Jerusalem where he had heard of their faith, and he was seeking wisdom. He was seeking after God. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? This is what Philip said to him. He's standing by the guy's chariot. The guy's reading Isaiah. And he says, do you understand what you're saying? And here's what he said. And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture, this is verse 32. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. Here's the Isaiah passage. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent. So he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate this generation? Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. That's a confusing one, and I've read this Bible lots of times. It's a confusing prophetic word. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, well, actually, I moved ahead. So, and the eunuch, yep, I was in the right place. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me of whom does the prophet say this? Of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Here's your key verse. Here's your Kairos moment for Philip right here. And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, not from his favorite scripture, not from the story he heard on Sunday, but from this scripture, this moment, he took what God was giving him that moment and he went with it. You get so concerned and you walk in fear. I do this some too. You walk in fear that someone's going to approach you or something's going to happen when you're not ready. That's the best time. Because then it's up to God. Do you understand? Take the moment you're in. We prayed this morning, and it's my prayer for you every time you come here, that when you come seeking his presence, that you would be present yourself. Not off, Not working out your budget, thinking about where you're going to eat. Now you're thinking about all that stuff. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I'm going to find it. First Peter 3:15 says, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You know, the story that people need to hear is just your story. They don't need to hear mine. They don't need to hear about your church. There could be a time for all of that. But when you have that kairos moment and something presents itself and it's time to say, well, can I pray for that? I believe God's going to heal you right now. If God says, I'm going to heal them, and you say, I believe God's going to heal you right now. And you pray it. And when the opening is there and they want to know, what is this about? They want to hear your story. And you have one. You need to be ready. So he started right there. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch from Ethiopia, he's had a conversion. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. He was gone. That was a kairos moment for Philip, wasn't it? But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. You know what? He didn't freak out. He was so happy about the presence of God and about this conversion that had happened in himself. He wasn't even concerned about the fact that a man went down the water with me and he's no longer here. They didn't drag the stream. They didn't get divers out. Come on. Guy was pumped. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all cities until he came to Caesarea. Layman, just a guy, just like us, who answered his kairos moment, who was ready for his kairos moment. Divine favor met divine opportunity. You look around the world today, there's never been a better time for a kairos moment for God, for us to be ready, for us to be used, to be available and empowered by His Holy Spirit. But we've got to become sensitive. We've got to be obedient to what He's saying and when He's saying it. And it'll be a pathway to the miraculous. Bible says you have not because you ask not. When was the last time you asked God to give you a kairos moment? When was the last time you asked God to give you a divine appointment with someone? When was the last time that you asked Him to entirely wipe out your debt? Why not? When was the last time you asked Him for your family who is lost as a goose? Oh, you think about them. You even pray for them. When have you just asked Him? Just said, save them. I see Darren is saved. I see Bobby is saved. I see Brandon is saved. Walking in your kingdom. Full of your power. Full of grace. We're in a kairos time lift. I don't want to miss it. With the band to come, because we're going to prepare, we're going to take communion together. That was a kairos moment as well. Jesus was with His disciples, knowing what was coming. They didn't know what was coming. Knowing that he was going to be crucified, knowing that he was going to not remain in the grave, and yet it didn't diminish the pain one bit. Knowing the love he had for those around him. And setting a sacrament for us to remember his death and his burial and the blood that he shed. So we're going to do that right now as we close.
Lord Jesus, I bless your body, and I thank you for the family of God gathered together. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. I pray blessing on them this week. I declare that what they do will prosper because the God who loves them will prosper them. And I thank you, Father, that you are a good God and you finish what you start. For every prayer for healing that has been lifted today, we declare that you will finish what you start. You are the healer and you're good. We bless you. We bless you. And we release the blessing of God over each person here today. In Jesus' name.